And now, wondering where the Alex Gordon statue should go, left field or just over the center field fence, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are, Petro, in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on a nice, toasty, warm little summer in the fall. We just turned to fall, and now we get a nice, warm day. Open those pools back up. We'd like to go swimming, please. Much to get to, you heard Alex Gordon announcing his retirement. We will go. We're going to try to join it live when Alex Gordon starts talking. Right now, Dayton Moore addressing the media. Alex Gordon calling it a career. I don't think this is shocking. But the end of one of the best careers in the history of Royals baseball will conclude this week. And Alex Gordon leaves with some pretty impressive statistics when it's all said and done. Most outfield assists in Royals history, second most gold gloves in Royals history, behind only Frank White. Alex Gordon has 7. Frank White had 8. He finishes 4th all-time in home runs with 190. You think he was probably planning on a little bit longer season when he came back, because he's at 190, Amos Otis 194, and Mike Sweeney at 197. Don't you think he had 200 circled?
Mm-hmm.
I bet he did. I'll bet he did. Games played for one team active. 4th most games played. He's behind only Yadier Molina, Joey Votto, Ryan Braun. Most outfield assists, by a Royal, but also the second most outfield. All right, most outfield assists. I'm sorry. Most outfield assists since 2010 in baseball. Second by a Royal, Amos Otis, 116. Alex Gordon, 101. Postseason RBIs, 4th on that list. Eric Hosmer, George Brett, Lorenzo Cain, then Alex Gordon. Most hit by pitches. It was a long time ago he left Mike McFarlane in the dust. 121 hit by pitches, 78 for Mike McFarlane. A pretty darn impressive career when it's all said and done. Most leadoff home runs in Royals history. We've got, he's 2-4-6th. In hits in Royals history, behind only George Brett, Frank White, Amos Otis, Willie Wilson, and Hal McRae. He is 5th in most extra base hits, 3rd in most walks. That's not stunning based on the history of the franchise. George Brett and Amos Otis in front of him there. He sits 5th in doubles. George Brett's going to be a tough one to catch in a lot of these categories, by the way. I'm always reminded by how massive his career is when things like these. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just put in a contest that Alex Gordon walked 682 times. Brett, 1,096. Right? Most doubles, I mentioned, 5th. Alex Gordon, 357. George Brett, 665.
It's like a different room.
Yeah. 6th in RBIs, 749. Brett? More than double, 1,596. All right, let's listen to Alex Gordon right now.
This is kind of what we're having to work with. So thank you for all of you being here and all of your guys' support over the years. You guys have always been great to me, and I've tried to do the same for you guys too. So I want to start off by thanking Dayton. I've been with Dayton since day one. He's just a little perfect leader for this organization, and not only being my boss, but just being a great person to look up to and respect in every aspect of his life. How he treats people, how he handles everybody in that clubhouse is something that a lot of people don't see, but is amazing. And you kind of get a glimpse of it when you get older veteran players that come through the clubhouse that have been with other GMs and other clubs and just have nothing but great things to say about Dayton and how he treats them, how he treats them off the field, and how he respects every player. I've been fortunate enough to only deal with him, and I think that's a blessing and something that I'll never forget. And even though my baseball career is over, I still got 4 more games, but I'm really looking forward to a lot of the friendships that happen, when this game is over. And I know me and Dayton are going to stay close and going to stay in touch over the years. So Thank you, Dayton, for everything you've done for me throughout my career. You've always stuck with me through the good times and the bad times. And, you know, I owe a lot to you, for my career. So I could probably talk for a while about you, just how much you mean to me. But I just want to say thank you, Dayton. Matheny, I kind of grew up playing against you with the Cardinals. I think you look a lot better in blue now. I know everybody here in Kansas City thinks so too. I know it's only been 1 year, but I wish it was longer. You've been great for this team. Just your leadership, your drive, your energy, the kind of man you are on and off the field, I can't speak highly enough of. And when Ned left, I wasn't sure about, how this organization was going to move on from Ned, just with everything we've done. But if there was some guy that was going to do it, it was going to be you. So I'm looking forward to seeing you and this team succeed over the next few years. I know it's going to come quicker than people expect. I know me and you both agree with that. And I'm looking forward to, sitting back on my couch, drinking a beer and watching, Whit, Duffy and yourself do some special things here. So thanks for the short time. It was a blast. And like I said about Dayton, we'll stay in touch for after this too. So thank you for the kind words. Now, that being said, I want to thank some people, my family first and foremost. You guys all know who you are. Thank you for all your sacrifices, all your commitment for me throughout my life. As a little kid, this is what I wanted to do. Growing up, I remember, I think it was first or second grade, I told my teacher I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, and sure enough, it happened. And it doesn't happen without my family and, everything they've done for me throughout my life. And I especially want to thank my wife, Jamie, my two boys, Max and Sam, my little girl, Joey. They mean everything to me, and this was kind of a big reason, why I kind of wanted to retire. I just wanted to spend more time with them. This game has been great for me over my career, but at the same time, I'm very blessed to do this, very blessed to do it as long as I have with the same organization, but it does take away a lot of family time, and, it's kind of a bittersweet moment for me because, I'm sad. I'm going to miss my teammates in there and everything and competing with them. But at the same time, I'm excited to the next chapter in my life and, spending a lot of time with those kids and my wife. So Jamie, you've been my rock through all of this. You've been with me since day one, through the good times and the bad. Anytime, I needed some guidance or someone to pick me up, you were always there and you always had the right things to say. So none of this would have been possible without you, Jamie. So love you and thank you for everything. I want to thank my teammates. A couple of them are here right now, Greg, Duffy, Witt, all those guys in those clubhouse. This morning I've been getting texts, left and right, and everything means so much from everybody. But, the things that really, touch my heart is when, guys like Witt, guys like all these guys on, Instagram give me a shout out, and I'm not a very emotional person, but for some reason when they say something, it just means a little bit more and kind of tears me up a little bit. So my wife always gives me a hard time because I never cry, but they kind of got me a little bit when I started reading those things that they said. So those guys in those club in that clubhouse right now, past and current, they mean everything to me. I know when I first started playing, the biggest thing that I wanted to do was be a good teammate. I came in with guys like Reggie Sanders, Mike Sweeney, Mark Gruzvonic, and they were all great teammates, and they kind of set a standard that, that's kind of how I wanted to be. Just whatever happened, good or bad, I just wanted to be the best teammate I could be to all those guys. And, they showed the same for me over my career. So I want to thank all of them for all the, hard work they've put in and all the sacrifices they've made to help me throughout my career. And I'm going to miss them more than they know. So not only them, the coaching staff, all the work that they've put in, like I said, past and current, has meant a lot to my career. The Rusty Coons, the Pedro Grafals, the Kevin Seitzers. I wish I could thank everybody. But without them, this is impossible. So I want to thank them. I want to thank, you know, the trainers, the clubhouse personal attendants in there, everybody in that clubhouse. Just I can't thank them enough for everything they've done for me throughout my career. So I want to thank the fans and the community of Kansas City. You guys have always been great to me since day one. You've always shown me a lot of love. You know, we had Gordon Nation in left field. That was some good times. And, you know, I'll never forget that, you know, throughout the good times and the bad times, team-wise and me personally, you guys were always cheering us on. And I'll never forget that. So I'll never forget 2014. In 2015, the kind of support you guys gave us throughout those championship runs was, I know Duffy and Greg who are sitting here with me we'll never forget it. It was something special, and I'm hoping that these guys in the clubhouse now can feel that, because the city of Kansas City, when we're playing well, it's something special, and even when we're not playing well, they're showing love. So I just want to thank the city of Kansas City. You know, I've kind of grown up here over the years. I've, you know, built a home here. My family lives here. Our kids go to school here. So even though, you know, my baseball career here in Kansas City is over, I'm looking forward to, you know, being a fan and being part of this Royals organization somehow throughout my life. So, yeah. You know, when I started playing this, you know, I just wanted to be, you know, I just wanted to everyone to see me as, you know, a hard worker, someone that played the game the right way, and somebody, like I talked about earlier, was a good teammate. And hopefully, you know, I'm leaving my legacy like that. Hopefully when people think about me, they think of me, you know, as someone that just left it all on the line, you know, before the game, after the game, and was always a good person to everybody in that clubhouse. So I'm hoping that's kind of how people think of me when I'm done. And like I said, I just want to thank everybody for all their support and everything over the years. So thank you guys.
All right,
there it is. Alex Gordon making official his retirement. It'll be at the end of this year. Let's let you hear the opening comments from one Dayton Moore. He led the press conference off. Here's what he had to say about Alex Gordon.
It's hard to put moments like this into words, but the first thing that I thought of when Alex called me about a week ago is how thankful we all are to Alex for the great example that he has set his entire career. We all recognize the accomplishments. That's forever in history, forever in the record books. We can go on and on about what he's accomplished on the field. But I think all of us who have followed his career, admired his career, are blessed to know him and to have interacted with him. We know how special he is, how committed he is in all aspects of his life. He truly represents what a baseball player is and should always be. And again, I just want to say thank you to Alex. Thankful for Jamie, Max, and Sam, and Joey, who have allowed us to share in Alex's life. He's given us all a great gift. And that is simply the ability to watch him perform at a sport that he loves, the sport that he gave everything, every single moment. I've never been around anybody as committed as Alex Gordon. And truly, truly special to have been able to watch him play baseball and honor his mother and his father, and to be the husband and the father that he is, and the great teammate and the great representative of our game, our team, and our city. So thank you to Alex, and I look forward to the next phase of his life and continuing a wonderful relationship.
There it is, Dayton Moore, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. He didn't draft Alex Gordon. He inherited him in the minor leagues, and would finish off his development, bring him to the big leagues, and ultimately move him out to left field where his career would blossom and take off. You know, there's a lot of talk that it was, there's the GM getting rid of the guy he didn't draft, moving him out of the way for his guy, Mike Moustakas, to give him third base. Lo and behold, 7 gold gloves later in left field, it looks like that was foolish talk when it was first put out there. You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've heard Alex Gordon. We heard Dayton Moore there. You hear Curtis Siebold authoring Sports Centers. By the way, I'll let you know he is on the road at Hen House. You can go by and say hello and get stocked up for the weekend. How many people really work on Friday? Not that many, let's be honest. Great specials always back at the meat counter, like 93% lean ground beef, ground fresh several times each day, $3.99 a pound. The ribeye steaks, talking about certified Hereford beef, 12 ounces, just $9. Pork rib or porterhouse chops, $2.79. Prairie fresh pork tenderloin is $4.99 a pound. I know that's a big one in my house. You can get some great seafood, by the way. Fresh Atlantic salmon fillets, $7.99 a pound. Halibut fillets, $18.99 a pound. Catfish fillets, $7.99 a pound. Even the easy peel brown shrimp. Do some seafood this weekend, just $9.99 a pound for that brown shrimp. And of course, they got you covered with the fall, as always, whether that's the apple fest going on with the Tippins pies, the deep dish apple, French apple, and old-fashioned caramel apple pies, or your jack-o'-lantern pumpkins, 2 for $10. Pie pumpkins are 2 for $5. If you're going to make some pumpkin pie yourself, for me, I just go to Tippins and let them handle everything. Go over to the bakery and grab yourself some Tippins pie, but they got you covered. Curtis at 135th and Metcalf over by the Harry's Brewery, where there's always great specials on the craft beer and the national beer, all kinds, all of them, all the beers are there, and there's always specials. So go check it out right there at the Harry's Brewery, where Curtis Siebold is stationed inside the Hen House. Curtis, your thoughts on Alex Gordon's career, his comments there, if any?
One of the reasons George Brett is the player he is in Royals history is that not only was he consistently good, but he was in the middle of all the biggest moments. And Alex Gordon is not the player Brett was. He's certainly not the character Brett was, but there's a similar dynamic to that. Had he not hit that home run of the World Series, he'd still be considered an all-time Royal. Had he only hit the homer in the World Series, he'd still have a special place in this city's heart. See Christian Colon on that score. That he did both, I think, puts him in a special class. He will certainly be a Royals Hall of Famer, and considering where he was in 2009 and even the 2010 when he first switched over to left field, I don't think anybody could have foreseen the character, the career arc that began almost immediately in 2011 with his fantastic offensive season, and that he'd be one of the most beloved players in the history of this franchise. I'd say he's probably top five position players all time. Brett, Otis, Wilson, Salvi will be there at some point, but I think he's in the top five or six of best position players in the history of the franchise.
Does he crack the Royals' all-time outfield?
No.
What is it in your mind?
Otis, Wilson. I did this once before. What? You know what? It's hard because like I think Beltran was better. I think Kane was a better player, but they didn't play as long.
Right.
It's possible, but I remember kind of knocking this around a few years ago. The Royals have had so damn many good outfielders defensively, particularly in center field.
If you put a 25 man together, right, or now a 26, I think he makes that, right? Because I think number one, you'd kind of in the back of your mind be like, okay, if I'm putting together a real team, I'm getting Gold Glove defense. If I'm getting him at his best, I'm getting a guy that had led the league in doubles 1 year. By the way, the only Black Ink. I was surprised. I thought maybe he'd had a league lead in something, but. Mm-hmm. Most of his accolades coming defensively, but he had the 1 year where he had over 50 doubles. And I was thinking, you get him at his best, he can hit, but also in the back of your mind, like, well, I can also stick him over at third if I need to. First base, he played a little first base when he was playing third, so it wouldn't, if he got into a 16-inning game, if you want to get really nerdy about building your all-time team, there's kind of some, closeted versatility there. But I think I'm with you. It's like it depends on what you go on. Beltran was better. Kane was better. But Gordon was there longer.
Yeah. I think he's definitively behind Otis and Wilson. He's no better than third. But you could certainly construct a very good argument that he deserves to be in that three-man outfield.
Yes. Yes. No doubt. But a heck of a career. And he says, looks forward to staying involved with the organization.
I don't know what in what role.
Yeah, guys always want to be home, and then they're home for a little bit. They're like, I got to go do something.
Right.
And I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to belittle it or minimize it, but I think it always sounds great to like, oh, I'm sick of getting on these planes. And this year, too, with all the stress of COVID and everything else that's going on, and I'm sure he is thinking, man, it'd be just great to sit at home. But I think he'll get an itch to do something, and baseball's always been a part of his life, whether that's coaching or scouting or just, kind of being a guy who shakes hands and hangs around the club, hangs around Dayton Moore. Who knows? He'll be, he's got the rest of his life to figure that out, where it goes. But I thought that stood out to me that, looking forward to being involved in the organization in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's
it
like the George
not
Brett
to his,
yeah, good.
It speaks not just to his time here and his affinity for the city. I think that speaks a lot to it, and the organization itself. I think it's been a fantastic marriage. We've talked about this before. The city and the mindset, just the kind of people that live in Kansas City, and the way the organization has conducted itself, that it's a very, very nice mix. And Alex is a Midwestern guy. He spent most of his life around here and kind of seems to cotton to that type of mentality. So I could see him wanting to be around this because of those reasons.
Yeah, whether it's just putting on the uniform and, going down and helping out at spring training and, being around to kind of spread the work ethic ideal, the Royals sentiment. I want to do this. By the way, we've got Fat Jack coming up here later this hour. We'll get to our program picks. Stump the Chumps in the 3 o'clock hour. Your chance to win a gift card to Hen House. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Blair Kirkhoff. A lot of things to talk about. Alex Gordon, Chiefs, but also all the college football going on. And in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Jeff Passan. Get his thoughts on Alex Gordon and the final days of the abbreviated regular season of 2020. But think about this, chew on this, and we'll start on it when we come back. What's the future in left field for the Royals? Like, what does this now do for the ball club now that Alex Gordon is not the guy over there in left field? We'll talk about that next. 913-810-810. You're in the program. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we make our way through a Thursday that has us bidding adieu to Alex Gordon, Curtis Siebold at the Hen House. That's at 135th and Metcalf. You can stock up for the big Monday night football game right there at the Harry's Brewery. All the selections of all the beer you want. Grab anything you want, including the Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, the Corona Hard Seltzer with 0 grams of carbs, 0 grams of sugars. If you're watching your weight, doing the low carb thing, it's perfect for you. Go by your neighborhood Hen House. They got you covered right there. And also get stocked up with everything you need for fall, all the pumpkins, jack-o'-lantern pumpkins. If you want to do some decorating, go for it. They have you covered there as well. Talking about the Royals now moving forward without Alex Gordon, what does next year's left field look like?
Large. There's a lot of square footage out there. I think it means 330 down the line, okay. 380 to power alleys.
All right.
I like how you're
prepared to full on half ass it again today. That's fantastic.
Edward Olivares, maybe. I mean, it's or Franchi Cordero. I mean, they've got some young guys, but there's no one where you look. There's no one in this organization where you look at and go, that's the guy.
Well. And that's the thing.
I mean, the Red Sox knew Jim Rice was coming after Carl Yastrzemski. They knew Mike Greenwell was coming after him. There was no, who knows? I might be in left next year for the Royals.
I think for me, like, number one, they got to figure out second base. All right. Is Nicky Lopez the guy or not? Because Whit Merrifield back at second base would seem like a prominent spot. I think they need to go find a center fielder. Now, Khalil Lee plays center field. We heard about Nick Heath. I mean, I haven't seen enough out of Nick Heath to rule him out, but just looking at his minor league numbers, it doesn't say he's the answer. I'm hoping that Hunter Dozier in the outfield is done and Hunter Dozier can just settle in at first base. Like, if you're not going to trade him, then give him that spot and let him focus on hitting. He's one of your best, if not your best hitter on this ball club. They seemed resided to Jorge Soler is going to DH, right? Or at least that's where they want him to be.
Yeah.
Is that the DH? So to me, they've got three open outfield spots. Like, I would have Whit Merrifield at second base. To me, that's where he carries the most value. That gives you the best chance to build the lineup. Maybe Edward Olivares is one of the guys. Maybe Franchi Cordero is one of the guys. I really think you're going to see probably, what, Cordero in center? Or do we see Cordero and Olivares, Olivares in center? Do we one of those two in center, the other one in left? You know,
more,
to me, I think a priority
is of Cordero than Olivares. Yeah.
You what now?
I'm sorry. I'm more sold on Cordero maybe than Olivares moving forward, but maybe that's wrong.
He carries more prospect status. I mean, he was a bigger deal coming up. So there's we talk about the pedigree of the player. There's a higher pedigree there with him. So I think that's real, but. I think one of the things they've got to do is they've got to acquire an outfielder in the offseason. And if they don't go get an outfielder, can you really take serious that they're going to contend anytime soon?
No. Nope.
No. I mean, otherwise, like, Nicky Lopez, if they're convinced he's going to be the guy, he's going to be one of those 1,500 at-bat guys, it looks like, right? Not one of the guys that's like, oh, okay. Man, he came up, hit the ground running, ready to go. So, if you're going to wait on Nicky Lopez and Witt's going to fill one of the outfield spots, okay. Dozier's going to fill one of the outfield spots. All right, now you're looking at first and you're waiting on second. And, I think what they do with their outfield and whether or not they go out and acquire an outfielder outside this organization, be that via trade or be that via free agency, is going to tell a lot about where they think they are. And we've talked about this. The one thing that they've got to do right is look in the mirror and get the right, assessment of what they're looking at. And if they are 3 years away, then they need to make moves based upon being 3 years away. Like Salvador Perez hanging massive numbers out there. Is he going to be your guy? And you're thinking, okay, our target year's 23? Then, those are the decisions. The decisions remain the same. Alex Gordon's decision, the decision on Alex Gordon was made for them. He retired, and they don't really have that guy coming behind him. You're right. But I think this just further enhances, and I don't think anybody was planning long-term with Alex Gordon. As soon as his contract was up and he signed a one-year deal, it was going to be a year-by-year thing. But I think where this team sits now, they at least knew they had him that they could put out there for all the – off the field and leadership and all that. They knew that was there. Now they don't have that. Maybe that frees them up. Right? Maybe that takes the handcuffs off them.
Yeah, sometimes you kind of get forced into them. I mean, it happens in people's everyday lives. You kind of hang on to something, and sometimes you have to be forced into a shift in your life to make a change you've always needed to do. So if that's what ends up being the case here, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's the page is being turned for Alex Gordon. They've got to either expedite the we're playing for now, with Whit Merrifield, Hunter Dozier, and Salvador Perez, or they've got to take a look over the horizon and see where they want to go. But today, a day to celebrate, and the rest of these games to celebrate the career of Alex Gordon, who will no doubt, as you said, Curtis, 7 gold gloves, 3 all-stars. He is going to be in the top five in a number of top five or six in numerous offensive categories for the Kansas City Royals in his career. He's going to be a Royals Hall of Famer and, you know, will be around. And I think that speaks to the city, by the way. I think that's a great statement about the city. The organization, yes, and he spoke glowingly about Dayton Moore. And I think you see why guys want to play for Dayton Moore, and that's something important to keep in mind when you're talking about building a winner in a small market, but we will see what they do. I think a lot to be done, even more now with Alex Gordon stepping away. We will take a break. A lot to be done as far as our program picks go. Fat Jack joins us. We will get to the bottom of all the local schools and the Chiefs this week against the number. Who's going to win? We're going to need a contestant as well. You can grab that spot by calling 913-3810-810. You're in the program. Yes, indeed. It's time to get to the bottom of the games. If you like to have more than a rooting interest on the games, well, trust me, we're the place to come to because we're the experts. Not really. We're kind of boobs, but we do have an expert with us. Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com joins us right now on our T-Mobile guest line. How are you, Fat Jack?
I'm doing great. We've got a big, big weekend coming up. You know, the last couple of weeks we've had very few selections kind of tiptoeing into the season, but and we actually got bad beat on three different games over the weekend, turned a small winning week into a small losing week. But since then, Seren, we're undefeated. We won Monday night, we won Tuesday night, we won Wednesday night. Football and basketball both on a 5-0 run this week. And the baseball that's free is 9-2 this week, adding to a 40-plus game year worth of profit over the course of the baseball season. Those plays are absolutely free. So a very good time to get signed up at FatJackSports.com as we're ready for this weekend. SEC comes back. Of course, the NFL is in week three. This is always a very, very profitable week, and I'm excited about that. And I've already sent out 5 selections, which is more than we've had each of the last 2 weeks each. We've already sent that many out going into the weekend. So a great time to get signed up. It's going to be a great weekend and a great we're going to fall into some profit as we head into October.
Yes, looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting the big slate of games going, which with the SEC joining the party and Big 12 conference games going, it's really kind of felt like preseason college football leading up till now. But we get the big boys going and looking forward to getting those games on the board. We've got a contestant. His name is Little Jack to go along with Fat Jack. I think that's fantastic. Jack, welcome to the program. By the way, is it Little or Lil?
You know, I'm not picky. I was going to say Jack Spratt, but, you know, it didn't matter.
I like it. All right, so you understand that if you can defeat me, we're going to get you great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. All you got to do is have a better record than I have. And trust me, you know, I've gone 3-2, 3-2, but collectively the listeners have gone 1-4 and 0-5. 1-9, so I hope you can do better than what we've had so far.
I'm going to do it for the listeners.
All right, we got 5 games that we're going to be picking. Alabama minus 27.5 at Mizzou, K-State at Oklahoma. The Sooners favored by 4 touchdowns. Kansas is at Baylor. Of course, Baylor's giving 17.5. Chiefs are at Baltimore on Monday Night Football. The Ravens laid 3.5. And the Bills are a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Rams. We will start with you, Jack. What do you think? Alabama minus 27.5 at Missouri. Who you got?
Is that Little Jack or Fat Jack?
That's Little Jack. I'm sorry. I'm going to start with you each time, Jack.
All right. Yeah. And which game was the first one? Alabama?
Alabama 27.5 at Missouri.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. And I'm a Missouri fan. So I will take Alabama to cover.
Okay. He goes Bama. Where does Jed? We've got Jed, who's off this week. We've got his numbers. Curtis, who's Jed taking?
Jed is on MIZ.
Okay. He can go a little MU. I'll go first between me and you on this one. I will take MIZ. I like the Tigers, and the 4 touchdowns are almost 4 touchdowns. They're a complete unknown. I don't know why this number isn't bigger. Maybe I'm going to find out that that's the problem, is that it should have been way bigger, and it's a conservative line just coming out of the gates. But give me the Tigers and the points. Curtis, where are you?
I've gone back and forth on this one. Season openers are tough to pick under ideal circumstances. This seems like a total crapshoot. I think 28 is a tough number to cover on the road, so I'll lean to Mizzou.
Okay, I'll lean on Missouri. We've got three Mizzous and a Bama. Fat Jack, where do you sit?
Yeah, I was going to say, Jack is a great name. And, I would give it up to my son that made the All-State Good Hands team, the top 22 football players in the country from all divisions. And his name is also Jack. So he goes by Little Jack. So hopefully the listener will do better than the one win of the last 2 weeks. I'm pulling for him. This game, you have to revert back to the first week of college football that we really don't know a lot about the SEC teams. It's not about the necessarily practice. It's about what they're getting out of practice. Once you see them for a week or so, you know kind of where they should be. And that's why the number's 27. That's a good, solid number. You'll have people playing the home team as an underdog there, and you'll have people saying Alabama will roll over just about anybody in the SEC. And so that's why the number is what it is. What we do know is that five of the last five games for Missouri overall have gone under the total, and nine of the last 10 at home have gone under. Under brings Missouri into play, obviously, if they can either sustain some drives or play some defense. As long as they don't turn it over four times, I like them plus the points here versus Alabama.
Okay, we'll put you down for Mizzou on this one. All right, Lil Jack, K-State at Oklahoma. The Sooners are given four touchdowns. Oklahoma minus 28. Who you got?
I'll take K-State in that one.
Take K-State. All right. Where is Jed Rowe, Curtis?
OU.
You'll go OU. Where are you?
I really wanted to take the Cats here, but I keep reflecting on the fact that they gave up almost 500 yards to a team that was down several players. Sooners just seem to reload at quarterback and elsewhere. I got to go OU.
Throw in everything you just said. Let's add on revenge. For the Sooners, this is just such a difficult spot. We know that K-State, we've heard Chris Klieman. I mean, I think I don't know, listen, no football coach is ever prepared to coach a team in a pandemic, so they're all over a barrel in dealing with this. But he's been very honest about how difficult it is, and that's not projecting a lot of confidence. He's got an O-line that he's completely trying to rebuild. I don't think that's a good spot. I know the Sooners feel like their defense is getting better, so I don't know that K-State's going to get a lot of points on the board either, so I think this is one where OU may cover at halftime. I think it's the Sooners or stay away. Fat Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, and the COVID test on Friday out of Kansas State will have a lot to do with whether this game even goes or not. I mean, there's a chance this game will be postponed, although we are hearing better things now after yesterday's test. But OSU's the right side. Excuse me. We don't know anything about their defense because they played a horrible team last time out. They were up 49-0 at half and won 49-0. So they called off the dogs in a big way. But, yeah, I like Oklahoma State here because of all the question marks along with K-State. It's really hard to focus on a game plan where you're not exactly positive who's going to be out due to COVID contract tracing and stuff. So I'll lay the 27.5 and play the Sooners.
Okay, Lil Jack, we've got Baylor laying 17.5 against the Fighting Les Miles. What do you think?
I'll take Baylor.
I'll take Baylor. Where's Jed?
Baylor.
I mean, I can't believe the words that are about to come out of my mouth. I'm gonna try one more time. Here's my logic. They lost to Coastal Carolina last year and then went up and shocked the world and beat BC. I think they take a Baylor team that Will Harris said he didn't think was that good anyway. He's got a first-time coach, everything going on there as well. I'm going to then this the spread ought to be higher. Like Baylor was, talking national championship coming down the stretch last year. I know they've got a new coach, but you don't feel like just everything's gone, right? And Kansas lost to Coastal Carolina. Why isn't this 128? Give me KU. I'll even say it with some confidence once I talk myself into it. Curtis, what do you think?
Well, Kansas had 2 weeks to kind of chew on that loss, but it wasn't like a year ago where they kind of lost a tough one. They got blown out, essentially, at home. So maybe that's more an indication of how good the team is than it was a year ago. I think Baylor's going to be fired up. First game for their coach. Won't be any fans there, but I'll still take the Bears to cover.
All right, we've got three Baylors, and I'm alone on Kansas. And of course, Curtis with the excellent analysis, Fat Jack, of a team being fired up. That's always a great
fired
reason,
up.
I think, to take a side. What do you think, Fat Jack?
I think you and I are probably going to be frontline losers in this one. Every time I play Kansas, they're horrible. They score no points and get beat 50-0. When I play against them, they end up figuring a way to cover and or win the game. So we're definitely going to lose, but I'm not going to play Baylor here for a couple of reasons. Number one, they haven't played, and their game was postponed against Houston, that they were only a 3.5-point favorite. Houston is not going to be a world beater, so I don't think Vegas thinks a lot of what Baylor is. I just think they just – what we know, what the games we've seen have been bad out of Kansas. So hopefully they got some things shored up. There's a big back door there with 17.5 points. So I'm going to take the Jayhawks and hope they don't lose 50-0. By the way, note to clients, this will not be on any of the selections or opinions. We will not be playing this game this weekend, for sure.
I was going to do that. It's going to be like, this is a good time for me to step in and say, listen – we pick the local games because that's the games people are interested in, but that does not mean by any stretch that these are going to be the games that are going to be Fat Jack's play. So do keep that in mind. He just kindly analyzes these games. They might be, but there you go. You got the official word. It will not be. The Kansas-Baylor game will not be one of the selections that's on the board. So take that to heart. All right, Lil Jack, Chiefs at Ravens. Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. What say you?
I'll take the Chiefs and the points. Ravens are overrated. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Jed.
Wow, with authority.
What is Jed like?
Jed likes the Chiefs as well.
All right. I went first last time?
Yeah.
You're up, Kay.
Everyone says the Ravens have had this game circled for months, but I think the Chiefs have as well. The line suggests a dead heat. One big play can make the difference, and I see that more likely to come from Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I'll take the Chiefs.
You know, 3.5, if these are the two best teams, then getting the hook, playing a game with no fans in the stands should benefit the Chiefs because they're the defending champs and there's no fans and they're getting the hook. All those things point to the Kansas City Chiefs. But we saw the Chiefs be stale in the first half against the Chargers, and talk about how hard it was to kind of get going with no fans there. They did that again today. Some more questions of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid about that, and it was a problem. This is one where it seems too easy. Double revenge for the Ravens. They've lost each of the last 2 years, wanting to make a statement. This is the team they got to knock off. They throw everything at it. That seems too easy for everybody to load up on that side. When's the next time you're going to get Patrick Mahomes plus 3.5? I'll bet you're going to be wishing you had him the last time you got him plus 3.5. So give me the Chiefs and the points. Fat Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there is a lot to the teams having trouble having to get up because of the lack of fans. And it's on the road as much as it is at home. It's a lot harder to get up for the Chargers in a 3 o'clock game than it is Monday night against what may be the best team in the NFL if it's not your team. So I don't think they'll have any trouble getting up here. I also thought Baltimore might be overrated going into the season, but I may be proven wrong because they really look good coming out of the gate. But I'm with you. Anytime you give me Mahomes and company getting points, and they're not playing the Chargers, who seem to always give them trouble, I think you're getting some value here. So I'll take Kansas City plus the points. Kansas City 10-1 against the spread their last 11. Baltimore 14-1 straight up at home. They typically win. Doesn't mean always cover, though. I'll take the Chiefs plus the points.
Okay. Last game for you, Lil Jack, and then we'll get you on hold and get some information from you. The Buffalo Bills are 2.5-point favorites at home against the Rams. What do you got?
Man, that's the toughest one for me. I think I will take Buffalo to cover.
He's going to take the Bills. Okay, Buffalo there. Where's Jed? And we'll put you on hold, Lil Jack. Good luck to you. Hopefully you come away a winner and win you some great Cajun food from Jazz. What does Jed have, Curtis?
He's on the Bills as well.
He's on the Bills. Well, this is not going how I was anticipating. I will tell you that much. Now the Bills were my side. I think the Rams have been a little bit overrated. I think the Cowboys pretty much gave them the first game. They didn't do anything in that fourth quarter that said they should get that win. The next game, they come out and play an Eagles team that shoots themselves in the foot as well and has issues up front. I think Buffalo's better built. They're at home. I think they're enjoying this winning thing. And the Rams either stayed out east or they went back west and now are going back east again. That's got to catch up to them. Either way, I don't think there's a good plan for that. Give me the Buffalo Bills. I like that I'm getting it at 2.5. I'll be interested to see if there's sharp money coming late. Curtis, who do you got?
Two hot offenses, but only one hot defense. Bills give up over 400 yards to the Dolphins last week. I'll take L.A.
Ooh, I feel even better about my selection.
You should.
Fat Jack, who's right?
Yeah, Rams are 9-2 against the number on the road. They typically get it done, and I think Buffalo is overrated too. We're going to find a lot out about both these teams. So, but the Rams plus the points for our contest. But, guys, this is going to be a huge, huge weekend. The basketball hasn't lost in a week and is undefeated this week again. Football, we had a big winner Monday night. The bases are 9-2 this week. I mean, huge, huge profit. By the way, the UFC plays on a 28-6 run over the last month and a half. They were 5-1 again this last week. So go to FatJackSports.com. Everything through Halloween, it's less than $100 a week. Very inexpensive to get the long-term packages. Through the Super Bowl, it's even less expensive. That's 800-298-1383 or FatJackSports.com. You get the weekend for only $189. So something for everybody. If you're going to be betting the game, get the selections. They're texting your cell phone or email to you, and they will help you win at FatJackSports.com.
Fat Jack, you're the man, buddy. Best of luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good week. See you soon.
All right, Fat Jack, every pick up on the board, everyone gets the same pick. He has been a winner every year he's been on this show, FatJackSports.com, where you can get his selections, and it is a big weekend as we've got the big boys in college football playing. You know what we've got coming up next? The big boys of sports history. The big boys play stump the chumps. That's how it works. If you're all growed up, if you think you know a little something about sports, let's find out. You can win a gift card to Hen House if you can stump the chumps. Peter Yates Enoch will join us. We'll open up the phone lines here in a second at 913-810-810. You can get to your neighborhood Hen House right now. Curtis Siebel's at 135th and Metcalf. Get stocked up for the weekend back at the Harry's Brewery.
All right, who was the first pitcher Alex Gordon faced in the major leagues? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.